You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Aboriginal people living in appalling conditions in the Top End are closely observing a landmark case being tested in the Northern Territory Supreme Court today. A senator befuddled by conditions leading to the scrapping of decades-old pornography and tobacco restrictions in the Northern Territory. And an Australian man accused of murder released from immigration detention in Bulgaria. Aboriginal people living in appalling conditions in the Northern Territory are closely observing the developments of the Santa Teresa landmark case being heard in the Northern Territory Supreme Court today. The case could set higher standards of housing with the potential to break the stalemate and force improvement for remote communities across the Northern Territory. Two members of the Santa Teresa community, Annie Deyoung and Roberta Conway, will argue that the legal requirement to provide housing that is habitable extends to a requirement that housing is good enough to live in, reasonably comfortable and humane. Ms. Deyoung and Mr. Conway also argue that their rental agreements are unconscionable, which means they're unfair and invalid on that basis because no one explained them what they were signing up to. If successful, the case could open the Northern Territory government up to further financial liability in relation to rents unfairly collected from residents in other remote communities. The coalition of PICs are conducting consultations on closing the gap in every state and territory during this month of October. The meetings provide an opportunity for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to tell the coalition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander PICs and governments what changes are needed to improve their lives. John Patterson is spokesperson for the Northern Territory PIC organizations. He says it is important that both metropolitan and regional communities and all levels of government are engaged in the development of a new agreement on closing the gap.
These consultations is done in a partnership structure, and the other partners in this process include the National Indigenous Australians Agency.
Yeah.
And also the respective state, territory, government agencies, either being the Chief Minister's Department or Premier and Cabinet Departments.
Yeah.
So we have representatives and officials from both levels of government in attendance, yeah, and observing and listening to the discussion that's being undertaken.
Decades-old pornography restrictions in the Northern Territory will be scrapped, with Northern Territory Senator Malandiri McCarthy questioning whether the controls were ever evidence-based. An inquiry into the federal government's new welfare bill has heard that bans on tobacco and pornography purchase will not be part of the cashless welfare debit card. That is, despite the control measures being in place 12 years in some Aboriginal communities since the Northern Territory intervention. Senator for the Northern Territory, Malandiri McCarthy, questioned the Department of Social Services, who were unable to explain the government decision.
For people who've been under a particular regime for 12 sure. years and were told that it was all evidence-based, and now a decision's been made without any evidence to change it, it's just very peculiar.
Legendary Australian actor and TV presenter Annie Dingo will reprise the role of Uncle Tadpole he first performed 30 years ago when the hit musical Brand New Day embarks on its 30th anniversary tour in 2020. Recognised as the world's first Aboriginal stage musical when it premiered to great acclaim, Brand New Day is a coming-of-age musical that takes audiences on an exuberant ride through 1960s Western Australia. The revival will have a real family flair with up to three generations involved. Original Kakos member Stephen Pigram will once again tour as part of the band, this time with his daughters. Fellow Kakos member and the show's Indigenous advisor, Michael Mavromatis, will be joined in the band by his son, Money. The 15-strong cast will commence rehearsals in Broome this December before touring the production across Australia. An Australian man convicted of murder in Bulgaria has left an immigration detention center, telling media he has no plans to leave Bulgaria illegally. The 32-year-old served 11 years of his court sentence and was granted parole, but the chief prosecutor has asked for a review of his case. Paul Freeman says he'd prefer to live in Bulgaria but won't attempt to leave until he has the right to do so.
Many people probably think that I have had protection from Australia for the last 12 years, but the truth is that the people who have helped me were Bulgarians, and I trust them.
Foreign Minister Maurice Payne says she is concerned Paul Freeman is being denied the right to return to Australia. His father, Simon Paul Freeman, has told ABC Radio, although his son is free, he's still unable to leave Bulgaria.
For about 3 weeks, they claimed he didn't have a passport and therefore couldn't leave, and blaming other people for not having a passport. This morning, they raided his room and actually confiscated his passport on the basis that he was a deportee. So he has, at the same time, both a deportation order to get out of Bulgaria, and at the same time, they claim that he has a travel ban for leaving Bulgaria.
New analysis of Australia's labour market has described the employment system as broken. Anglicare Australia's jobs availability snapshot found 1 in 7 job seekers face barriers when it comes to finding work, and those with the greatest need for support to find employment are facing the greatest competition. The snapshot also found just 10% of vacancies advertised in May this year were suitable for someone who doesn't have qualifications or work experience, down from 12% in 2006. Anglicare Australia Executive Director Casey Chambers says for each of those entry-level positions, there are at least 5 disadvantaged job seekers competing for it.
That has regional differences. In Tasmania, it's 14 people, and in South Australia, it's 12. But the situation is actually worse than that appears, though, because other job seekers can actually compete for those jobs. And these jobs are positions like retail, security, agriculture and farm workers. So they're the building blocks of our economy.
And overseas, United Nations agencies are urging Turkey to investigate who is behind several executions as conflict involving Kurdish fighters escalates. More than 150,000 people are thought to be displaced in northeastern Syria as Turkey leads a military operation against the Kurds. Footage reportedly shows the Ahrar al-Sharqiyya armed group filming themselves capturing and executing 3 Kurdish captives on Saturday. The United Nations Human Rights Office says Turkey could be deemed responsible for violations even if affiliated groups were behind the killings. Meanwhile, UN Humanitarian Aid Coordinator Jens Larkey says aid is being redirected because active fighting in some areas makes it difficult to access.
The security situation in northeastern Syria remains highly volatile, with continued reports of airstrikes and ground attacks as the military operation continues. On both sides of the border, civilian injuries and deaths are being reported.
And Russia has filled the gap left by the United States after President Donald Trump unveiled plans to remove troops from northern Syria. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence is heading to Turkey this Wednesday to meet the president and to try to negotiate a ceasefire in Syria. It's been a week since the Turkish offensive against Kurdish fighters began, and Russia's move has further cemented its role as a power broker. The Kurdish administration reached an agreement, with the Russian-backed Syrian government, whose forces are attempting to shield them from Turkey. Kurdish woman Hevin Mohammed is one of the displaced people from Syria who has arrived in Iraq.
We are coming here, but our families and relatives have not come yet, and their conditions are very bad. Some of them are sick, and some others are elderly people. We call upon Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to open the border crossing so that patients can come.
And back home, a Human Rights Watch report released today has exposed the routine practice of aged care staff giving people with dementia drugs in order to control their behaviour. The fading away report shows the method known as chemical restraint has been used at 35 aged care facilities in three states. The findings have prompted calls for the federal government to ban the use of chemical restraint as the Royal Commission investigates the aged care sector in Australia. Today's Royal Commission hearing will focus on the improvement of wages and conditions within the aged care workforce. And having a look at the weather around the country, Perth, mostly sunny day, 22. Adelaide, rain easing, 18. Melbourne, also rain, 18. Hobart, showers increasing, 16. Albury-Wodonga, partly cloudy day, 22. Canberra, a shower or two, 23. Wollongong, a shower or two developing, 23. Sydney, partly cloudy, 25. Newcastle, much the same, 29. Brisbane, cloud clearing, 29. Townsville, mostly sunny, 28. Cairns, mostly sunny, 31. Alice Springs, a sunny day, 30. Darwin, same sunny day as well, and a top of 33. And the Torres Strait Islands, a cloudy day, and a top of 27. And that is NITV Radio News.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.